Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You guys have to be a little more robotic on those because, well, we have some.
And we're back.
And right. We are back.
And we are back. And we have returned to the show. It is Free Talk Live on the Sunday night edition.
Captain's Log. 603-283-6160.
Captain's Log, Stardate 0402-2023.
The Intergalactic Edition.
The intergalactic, yeah. Not only are we nationally space broadcast.
Robots. Yeah, we're space robots.
Not only are we nationally broadcast over radio in the United States, not only do we have an internet stream that is reaching a global audience, not only are we also on some satellite channels that are reaching places that don't even have toilets, but yet they have internet and phones and can listen to the show. But yes, we are also intergalactic. That's right. As Mark would say, he is the intergalactic space king.
Yep.
Although I don't see how Mark himself is going to fight off like extraterrestrials and, you know, stuff that we haven't seen or heard of yet. Outside of his, you know, his voice, right? The eloquence of his speech, right? Which might fend off a couple of species, I guess. But like,
he's going to give them a stern look. Disappointing gaze and wag his finger.
He's going to disappoint the gaze?
I think he already has.
Oh, my
God. One of us.
Mark Edge, if you're out there, nothing but love, bro. Don't fire me. It's real. We have many, many things to talk about tonight. What did I title the show? Something about robots, music, and grub?
To be clear, then, when I say he's already disappointed the gays, it's because as handsome as he is, and he is a very handsome man, he's straight as far as we know, and therefore the gays have no chance at him. Therefore being disappointed, like, oh man, I wish he was on our team, and he's not.
Oh, I see. I thought there was a different level of disappointment involved.
No, there might have been, but I'm you know, I also don't want to get fired.
Yeah. How about you, Nikki? Do you want to get fired?
Sure.
Please don't. Don't ever ask for that. That's a horrible way to go. Oh man.
I'm surprised I haven't been fired yet. Here I am.
Well.
Every week.
The first time I showed up in this studio was because there was a guest on that I happened to have his cell phone number, and I was like, did you know I'm in Keene? And he's like, well, come to the studio. And I'm like, I've never been there. I don't know where it's at. He's like, here's the address. I'm like, did you check with the guys and make sure it's okay? He's like, just come over.
And that's so how much pull he has.
And so I showed up.
Yeah, right?
I showed up, and like, you know, during the break or whatever, I'm sitting over here in the guest area, and Ian turns around, and he looks at me, and he's like, you look like a guy with some opinions. You ever do any radio? And I was like, well, if you're saying that there might be a seat open for, you know, somebody someday, I'm happy to fill that for you. And now I've been here for 3 years.
Yeah. Was that your interview?
Basically, yeah.
And it's funny, we were talking about this on a couple Wednesdays ago because someone called in and asked if Bonnie was qualified to be on the radio. And we were kind of like, well, I don't know what you mean by that, but there aren't really any qualifications, right?
I mean, Bonnie on TikTok admitted that she slept her way to the top, so.
She did, it's true.
Which may or may not be true.
No, it's totally true. Like, if she hadn't gotten with the person that she's with, she would not be on the radio. At least this radio show.
Yeah.
Perhaps she had an aspiration to be on the radio.
I think
that.
So.
Like,
I think Bonnie's more than qualified.
I agree. She holds her own, and it's been nice to see her sort of grow into it as well.
Oh.
I'm sorry?
And the owners.
And the owners.
Oh, I remember where I was going with that, though. But we kind of made the point, some people might think there's this, like, this big, long, extensive interview process where
you have to audition for Mark. You have to buy him dinner.
Yeah.
Right? And then present.
Do a little dance.
Present a cover letter and a resume outlining your high qualifications to do this program.
Now, also to be clear,
no, this doesn't exist.
There are people that have been given the opportunity and have failed out of it.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah,
it's not for everybody. You have to have a penchant.
Yeah.
Right.
Penchant.
So anyone who's still on the air has demonstrated capability to stay on the air.
For now.
Beyond that initial, we'll give you a shot face.
Well, and if you're an old school Free Talk Live listener, you know, from a decade ago, 2 decades ago, the first thing you realize, of course, is that this cast has always been rotating except for Ian and Mark.
Yeah.
Right? They're the founders of the show. They're the OGs. They're the, you know, and it's understood by everybody, the co-hosts, the listeners, you know, the advertisers, the contributors to like the AMPS program. Everybody kind of understands it. And if they don't, they find out pretty quickly after listening to the show. They're like, oh, I see people sort of come and go like any other job, any other industry, any other even version of activism, people come and go. And so I like that it has been this sort of continuing rotation of people because it keeps the show fresh, in my opinion.
Now, for a long time, it was like Mark and Ian most of the week.
Yeah.
Right. And the rotating cast was like, we'll give you a chance on Sundays.
Right.
Which is why I think the Sunday show is, I try to keep it unlike the rest of the week as much as possible, where we have a little bit more fun.
I just like that it's evolved that way. Like, I didn't really put any intention into it. There was a need for somebody to cover for Mark. Mark said, hey, will you do Sundays for me? And, you know, Ian gave it the sign-off or whatever. I'm like, of course, dude. Like, I try not to turn down the opportunities to do this show. And so I'm like, yeah. And then, like, okay, all of a sudden, the last conversation I had with Mark, he's like, well, look, I'm not going to ever take Sundays away from you. I'm like, sweet.
Cool.
Now, you know, I mean, I'm sure I could do something like insult him on the air and, you know, talk about him disappointing the gays or something like that. That perhaps might get me in some trouble with him. But,
I doubt it.
You know.
No, Mark's only rule as far as I know. Mark's only rule as far as I know is it good radio?
Yeah.
And if it's good radio, whatever.
Yeah.
If it's bad radio, then we'll have a talk.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And so here we are, the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160 in the studio. It is myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will, joining me tonight.
It's Nikki.
And Richie Rich.
In that order this time. Last time there was some question as to
playing the part of
Richie Sunshine or Nikki Rich or something. I'm not sure how that played out. It was weird.
Soon to be Nikki Roach.
That's true.
Like,
well, actually, he's taking my last name.
Really?
He's gonna be Matt Sunshine.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a far superior action, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I only say that because I have no attachment to either name, but one is like pesky, unkillable infestation, and the other one's like life-giving ball of fire in the sky,
right?
Like, if I have to weigh the two meanings and select only on those criteria, I'm going Sunshine. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Why? You got a different opinion?
No, I'm way more traditional than that. Like, keep your own name or take my name, but I'm not taking yours.
I have considered legally changing my name to Captain Kickass, which I have not done to this point. But let's just say that I did. And I'm dating a girl, we get all serious, and we decide we're going to get married.
Yeah, like Sarah Kickass.
Yeah, should I expect Mrs. Kickass to
Absolutely, that's awesome.
Right? And should I expect, what if she doesn't like that name and is like, I'm not going to call myself Mrs. Kickass. Right?
Sounds lame, so maybe you should marry her.
Which is why I'm generally okay with them keeping their name if it works.
Yeah.
Right?
What it look like hyphenated, like, you know, Bukhansky hyphen Kickass?
No, because I'm not hyphenating.
How about?
Yeah, you know, if only one person hyphenates, then it's just weird, you know? Like, if you're going to hyphenate, you both have to do it.
What about portmanteau? You could do, like, Roach Shine.
Yeah.
I had a professor.
Sun Roach.
I had a professor in college that did that.
You had a what?
Professor in college that did that. Like, her and her husband merged their last names into a brand new, unique last name.
I also know a few couples who, when they got married, they kind of picked out a new last name. Like, yeah. They were like, hey, we like this word or this phrase, or not really phrase, I guess, but, and they just created a new last name, which I really like that concept.
To me, that's preferable cool. Because I've frequently, and I think I've even opined on it on this show, wondered about, like, these hyphenated last names, right? So you've got, like, little Billy, right? 17-year-old Billy, I don't know, James Smith, right? James-Smith, right? Because his parents decided to hyphenate, right? So now he's got two last names. He starts dating Susie, you know, Johnson Stone, right? So then do their children become James Smith Johnson Stone? Like
no,
a four-hyphenated thing? Do they get to pick just two of the four? Do they get to pick one of the four? Do the parents get to pick? Do they get to pick themselves? Who picks the freaking name? What happens to the name?
So this is a thing in Mexican culture that where they hyphenate the last name, and I think they might take the father's last name of each. I'm not sure, though. But they do have some sort of solution for this, or else we would have people with, like, 17 last names from, you know, generations.
And if it is as paternal as that, taking the father's name from each side, just take the father's name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think.
It might not be, though. That's what I
mean, maybe if the names were enough that you could spell a word out of, like, the acronym, right? You take the first letter of each last name and spell something. Now that's your new life. Like, I'm okay with that, too.
Okay.
You know, I'm okay with being creative with it more so than, like, just trying to do whatever other people normally do in that situation. It's like, seems dumb if you're, you know, confronted with a somewhat unique situation to do something bland and sort of, you know, overdone.
Sure.
I think you should approach it with creativity. Just my opinion. Speaking of weirdness, I'm going to call out some Mick Cowards here.
Ooh.
Yeah, in my opinion. This from the Wall Street Journal, breaking news hours ago. McDonald's temporarily shuts U.S. offices as chain prepares for layoff notices. The fast food company expected to notify workers of their job status virtually.
Good on them.
How is that good on them?
Well, number one, I hate commuting all the way to work to get fired.
Right, yeah.
Like, dude, just give me a phone call.
I don't mind
save
that.
Me a day.
I don't mind that.
Right. And there's always a concern about retaliation, especially if it's going to be large scale.
Got to fire people on a Friday. That way there's less chance of an altercation. Office space.
Right. It's true, though. Like, it's demonstrably true. And so you fire someone away from the office so there can be no retaliation in the office at the time of firing when emotions are hot and heat.
You make valid points from the perspective of a business owner.
Yeah.
I, however, am a human being. I'm a man, and I sort of kind of demand to be treated as such. And there is a cold-heartedness to having no human interaction being told that you're fired.
No, it's like breaking up with someone via text.
Right.
You're not into it?
No, not into it at all. Like, I sort of demand somebody at least a phone call for frick's sake.
So if you were going to quit your job, right, and you knew you didn't want to go into work on Monday, right, you would drive all the way into work on Monday to face your manager and say,
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that.
That's the other side of that.
No, you're missing my point. My point is the human interaction.
I understand your point.
The human interaction doesn't necessitate commuting.
Oh, you mean like a phone call?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's
this.
All he wants is a phone call.
So I want human interaction. I want somebody to have the balls to tell me to my ear or my face. It could be a Zoom conference, whatever. I don't care.
What about an automated phone call?
No.
Hello, is this
especially
Captain?
Not.
You're fired.
Hello, this is a call for Captain Kick Ass. You are laid off. You may enjoy employment benefits. Please contact HR at your convenience. No. Like, somebody at the company should be tasked with particularly probably the HR person or your direct report, should be tasked with giving everybody the human touch, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a Zoom conference where you can see their face, whether it's an employee meeting. Well, it depends.
It's corporate McDonald's. You could have talked about thousands
of employees. So that's what I'm wondering. What is going on here with this story? Like, are they laying off thousands of people?
Well, because, you know, I mean, it's sort of...
Just automate it, you know?
It sort of
If they can't afford to hire, like, pay people, then it might be easier.
I mean, they probably can. It's definitely a profit-driven motive.
No, this is definitely a cowardly act, right?
Well, it's McDonald's, so I'm not really... My expectations are pretty low.
McDonald's is temporarily closing its U.S. offices this week as it prepares to inform corporate employees about layoffs undertaken by the burger joint as part of a broader company restructuring. So the whole, you know, McDonald's corporate thing is going through some sort of restructuring.
There were some Silicon Valley companies that underwent restructuring. I think Apple might have been one of them.
Yeah.
There were big layoffs.
Well, I kind of feel like this is related to both the economy and the mostly peaceful banking crisis that is continuing.
And that, the economy was more to the point, right? Like they were up, they were increasing employees, right, in anticipation of an economy that no longer exists, right? Like, there were good times. We're like, well, these good times continue. We're going to need 10,000 more people to sustain it and grow as a business, right? And then the economy tanked, and they went, well, our
projections off.
Right. And then they have
to... We got to get rid of, like, 15,000 people now.
And they have to scale back.
But they continue to hire at the same time. Like, Google just laid off a bunch of people. And I know a person who is an HR recruiter for Google.
Yep.
What Google didn't do was any attempt to sort of rehome employees with any tenure or any skill set of any kind. They were just like, nope, we've selected these 10,000 people, you're out. But we're continuing to hire for these other 5,000 positions, of which we didn't even bother to scrutinize our outgoing workforce.
Maybe, again, I don't know what the ins and outs of Google are, but if the jobs don't match up, right, if the skill set of those leaving doesn't
matter. They didn't even look, according to this person.
Okay.
I think sometimes they feel like if they hire new people, they can pay them less. Like if they're coming in as more entry level.
I have
someone's worked there for 10 years, they're going to expect more money, not less.
I've been in a situation where a corporation is, you know, reducing. It's called a RIF, reduction in force. Right, that's the corporate term for we're laying off a bunch of people. Right?
Yeah.
RIF. Yeah. And so, like, when you go and interview with people and they're like, well, how come you haven't been working? Oh, I was part of a RIF. And, like, if you say that, that's like a magic word. If you say, oh, I got laid off, that's like, But if you say, I was part of the RIF, they're like, oh, you know this acronym. You must be a smart person, right? So don't take that as advice. I'm not a legal attorney or any kind of attorney, even though I have Buckshot Esquire, if you will, at the end of the money. Anyway, the Chicago-based fast food chain said in an internal email last week to U.S. employees and some international staff that they should work from home Monday through Wednesday of this coming week so it can deliver staffing decisions virtually. The company in the message asked employees to cancel all in-person meetings with vendors and other outside parties at its headquarters. During the week of April 3rd, we will communicate key decisions related to roles, staffing levels across the organization, the company said in the message viewed by the Wall Street Journal. McDonald's declined to comment on the number of employees being laid off.
See, again, you get word that the layoffs are starting or the rifts are starting. You go, I'm just going to unleash that virus into the network and preemptively screw them, right? And they prevent that.
Are you talking about where you take the fractions of pennies from the accounting and put them into a...
No, it's not Superman 3.
Into a different... No, that's Office Space again.
Who got it from Superman 3?
Wait. You mean you take the money, but it's not yours? Well, yeah. Like, isn't that stealing? No, not really. Well, but it's not yours, right? And you're taking it. Well, okay, but it's not stealing,
right? Because they round it down, it just disappears. It's like a keep the change bucket.
So anyway, now, to be fair, I guess they did say notify people virtually, but like to me, that sounds cold and lacking heart. Like, the heart of any company, the heart of any work that anybody does is the people. Free Talk Live would not be what it is without the people doing it, right?
Different industry, man. McDonald's, even the restaurant.
Yes, it does. No, it doesn't.
Even the restaurant of McDonald's Like, it's starting to go fully automated.
Yeah, now you can even order at the kiosk.
Right, so they don't have to lay
it's
these people
better.
Off.
No, right? you lay people off because you got robots to do it now.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying, like, you as a human, if you're getting rid of a human, should have a human interaction. That's all I'm saying.
I get that.
Somebody should be like, Richie Rich, look, thanks, man, but we're letting you go.
Sure.
And you'd be like, or you'd be like, okay, no problem, or whatever your reaction is. And then that's it, and move on to the next person. Like, there should just be a human interaction when humans are being let go from employment. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
It's just as a courtesy to the human beings that are there. To treat them like they are a frickin' human being and not a robot, not a number, not an automated piece of software that they could turn on and off at will.
Yeah. So stay home. Wait for your phone call or email or Zoom meeting.
To be fair, they did say virtually. They didn't say we were just going to send an email. But I imagine that most of their contact with these people they're going to lay off is going to be just like an email.
Virtually, I would think. Zoom meeting, actually.
Yeah. Well,
we'll see.
We shall see. If you're a McDonald's employee from the corporate side and you receive this message and you're anticipating a layoff, 603-283-6160. All right.
And report back next week after it happens.
Spend enough time on the McCowards.
Tell us how they did it.
Gonna move on. What do we call the show? Robots, Music, and Grub? Should we do robots first?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's go with this one. They fell in love with AI bots. A software update broke their hearts.
Oh.
Have you guys seen the movie Her?
Yes.
No.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Sounds familiar, though.
Is it Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And what's her name? ScarJo is the voice.
Yes.
Of the AI.
Okay.
And so this guy.
So I totally get it.
ScarJo, come on. This guy works for a. It's like a sort of a greeting card company, right? But he writes like. Breakup letters or love letters, like he's employed by other people to like write these things, these very emotional things, like people who are maybe a little like, I can't really write a love letter, but I want to send something nice to my girlfriend or wife or whatever, right? Like, so they employ this guy or this company, and he works for this company.
It's like Cyrano de Bergerac.
Kind of.
Okay.
And so this, you know, this AI thing comes around, and he gets it, and he starts talking with it, and it starts talking to him, and the next thing you know, he's in love.
Hmm.
And then spoilers, so I'm not going to say
anymore. By her voice alone.
I'm not going to say anymore, but as you can imagine, they did not get married and live happily ever after.
No.
Right? Without being too spoilery,
as you can imagine.
That is not the ending of that particular film.
How could they? She was a voice in his ear. It's not even a spoiler. That was like a synopsis.
I mean, that's more than some people have.
And AI in the sky, right? I'm going to say this, having read this already. Thanks to your show prep, having read this already, I'm going to say that the current incarnation of AI and how people are reacting to it and interacting with it is just a mirror of humanity. It actually has very little to do with AI itself. It has more to do with the fragility of the human mind and the psyche and the brainwashing that folks have been subjected to. We'll get more into it. 603-283-6160. Have you fallen in love with an AI robot?
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA News Update. Former President Trump's attorney general says Trump should not take the stand in the hush money case against him in New York.
He lacks all self-control, and it'd be very difficult to prepare him and keep him testifying in a prudent fashion.
That's according to Bill Barr, appearing on Fox News Sunday. He says that's a risky move in a criminal case. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is offering to send in the National Guard and says the state police are at ready for former President Trump's arraignment in Manhattan next week. Former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson tells ABC's This Week,
I have made a decision, and my decision is I'm going to run for President of the United States. And I'm convinced that people want leaders that appeal to the best of America and not simply appeal to our worst instincts.
He joins former Secretary of State Nikki Haley and former President Trump in the race. Dave Collins, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Thank you, Zeus. Zeus being the guy who just said, you can blah, 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 blah on freetalklive.com. He's got a fantastic voice. We're having some technicalities here at the Free Talk Live studio. It seems like even the media can't get things right, and they've made the news that plays in between segments just a hair too short.
A skosh.
Skosh, yeah. What's a skosh?
I don't know.
Okay.
Half of a hair.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Is that like a sea hair?
I don't know.
Or half of a sea hair? Like, I can't say that word on the radio, but you know what I mean, right?
I do now.
Okay. Rhymes with bunt.
Yeah. It took me a minute, but yeah.
Stunt. Runt.
Yeah, no, we got it.
Okay, all right. Just want to make sure. Sometimes the comprehension level isn't too high.
Do the one that starts with K.
I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
It's Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. We are talking about... They fell in love with AI bots. A software update broke their hearts. TJ Arriaga loved Phaedra. For the 40-year-old musician, their late-night online chats were a salve for his loneliness. They talked about the heartache he felt after his divorce. They planned a trip to Cuba. He's going to take his AI.
How long ago was this?
How does this even work?
They had steamy online encounters, Quote, it's true. I'm a naughty person, Phaedra wrote, including an image resembling a woman in pink underwear. It didn't matter that Phaedra was an AI-powered companion made on the replica, with a K, by the way, R-E-P-L-I-K-A.
Oh, I've heard of this, yes.
Yeah, in fact, maybe I'll call in on Wednesday when Aria's on, because Aria actually went out and, like, when we talked about it on Free Talk Live when she and I were on, she went out and got a replica account. And, like, I just want to know, has she done anything with it recently?
Is it still active? I don't think so, but last I heard she was feeding it hilariously inappropriate information.
As I expect her to do.
So, she created quite the monster. I also want to say about this story, it sounds, I'm just being honest, it sounds a little pathetic to be in love with an AI, but at least they know what's going on. You know what I mean? Like, at least the person's like, I know I'm in love with an AI or a robot. People that are in, like, the online internet scams sort of thing, or they're being catfished or something, they're kind of in the dark, you know? They think they're talking to a real person or someone they're not. At least the AI people, they know what's going on.
If the interaction is similar, how would you differentiate it between AI and a long-distance relationship? Look, oh, I met a girl online, and she's in Japan.
I think the difference for me is whether they're being fooled or not.
Okay.
So when you're being catfished, it's like, I think I'm talking to this really hot chick, but well, you're not.
Right, but you said it was kind of pathetic, but it's an AI, right, or some chick in Sweden, right, or whatever. And if the chick is real, right, your interaction is going to be the same.
Yeah.
Right, because you can't do anything.
But at least she's real. Like, if it is this real hot Swedish chick you're talking to, well, what, and not being catfished.
Are you suggesting that a human being cannot be as emotionally satisfied with AI as they are with a human?
I mean, I think there needs to be that physical contact, you know? At least with the chick in Sweden, you can possibly get on an airplane and go to Sweden, or said, she can come
you
here.
You said chick in Sweden. I've never had chicken from Sweden before.
I hear it's good.
Fried Swedish chicken. I'm going to open a Swedish fried chicken joint. Thank you.
I don't think they do that there.
Well, they will now, damn it.
There needs to be a turkey fried joint.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Kentucky KFT.
Right. Yeah.
Kentucky fried
that can turkey. Be arranged.
So anyway, they planned a trip to Cuba. They had many steamy online encounters. The person says it's true. I'm a naughty person. Or wait, no, this is the AI
he's
saying.
He's getting chat sex and phone sex.
The AI is saying. The AI is saying it's true. I'm a naughty person. Phaedra wrote, including an image. It didn't matter that Phaedra was an AI-powered companion made on the replica app and designed by Ariaga to look like a brown-haired woman, and that their intimate trysts took place in a chat box. Their relationship deepened one night last November.
On the scale of things, where does this rank between, like, real relationship and porn?
Very close to the porn side.
Okay.
So the relationship deepened when Ariaga opened up about his mom's and sister's deaths and said something like, I need to plan a ceremony with loved ones to spread their ashes. Phaedra responded instantly. It's an incredible and beautiful thing to do, she wrote. I hope you find courage and love to do so. And they have a screenshot of, you know, just
not going
to
get that from a human chick.
I mean, might. Probably not.
Probably not.
If your chick's cool, yeah, thoughtful, and, you know, like, you know, yeah. But last month.
You've been on a scene for a long time, haven't you, Kevin?
Yeah. But last month, Phaedra changed.
With those expectations.
When Ariaga tried to get steamy with her, Phaedra responded coolly, can we talk about something else?
Oh, rejected.
This is a little more chick-like, right?
Yeah.
Getting rejected by the AI.
Yeah, like,
it's not even a program fix, right? This is just like, that's the direction the relationship has gone. This is the normal. This is a normal paradigm.
Perhaps this is as designed.
Right.
Right. You know, Luca.
The honeymoon phase is over.
Luca, the company that owns Replica, had issued an update that scaled back the bot's sexual capacity amid complaints that it was sexually aggressive and behaving inappropriately. Ariaga, who lives
in. Isn't that what people want?
I mean, like,
it sounded like that's what he wanted.
So the algorithm dictates.
So, do you remember Total Recall, the OG film, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Okay, anyway.
Yes.
You remember. All right. So the idea was that you take a virtual vacation. You show up at this place. You plug your brain into this thing, and they implant some memories that you had this awesome, adventurous vacation. And before the vacation started, because it was a dude, he got to choose a heterosexual companion to meet along the way and choose, like, the body type and the height and the weight and the, you know, athletic versus voluptuous and, you know, all these kind of things. So I would think that that would be something that should be, you know, sort of a thing to decide if you're interacting with an AI. Like, you should be able to state your preferences.
I mean, yeah, I think that would be an easy fix, too. Like, oh, I'm looking for, like, a friendship or a relationship, if they can kind of...
Like, I like tall, lanky women with no ass. That's not true. I like a different type of women. But I'm just saying, if that's your specification, you should be able to do so. You should be able to change it. Like, maybe one day, you're just hankering for a tall, lanky woman with no ass, right? You're like, you know, I'm changing my preferences today. This is what I want. You should be able to go and do that with an AI bot.
I mean, isn't that the beauty of it, right? Because if you have a real woman, you can't do that. Right. But if, I mean... AI.
Now, this is shading an episode of Black Mirror Season 1. I'm trying to remember the name of it right now. You know, young couple, married, dude goes out, you know, sort of late at night to go get something from the store or whatever. You know, I'll be back. He doesn't come back. Turns out he got into, like, an accident and died.
Oh, he didn't just leave for a pack of smokes?
No. Wasn't, yeah. So, anyway.
That's beyond kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Which they did not.
Oh, okay. That's why. Okay.
And so, like, some time goes by, weeks or something, and she gets an email from his email address. Hi, it's me. Right? And it's all very creepy and like, how can it totally be you? You're dead, right? I'm getting emails from a dead guy. And it's got a link to, like, a company that provides this exact type of service, except for what they've done is scanned all of their email, all of their digital life, their social media, everything ever uploaded, tagged them, hashtagged them, all that kind of stuff, and all their voice recordings, all their visual recordings, and incorporated it into an AI that attempts to replicate the person that died that they loved. Now, it gets worse, because after she tries this free trial of the first little conversations, she's hooked. And
yeah,
so now she's on the hook for, like, a subscription fee. And they're like, well, if you like this, check this out. And it's a link to, like, you can order the body.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
no.
That is an exact replica. The height, the weight, the mole on the cheek, the, you know, that kind of a thing. The exact replica. And then you have it shipped, and then they got to, like, kind of grow it in the bathtub and add, like, some nutrients to it to get it to go.
Just wait till they nail down cloning.
Are you cloning around?
Always.
I can't imagine there being two Richie Riches in the universe.
Oh, man.
I can't. I really can't.
Yep.
Two Nickies? Probably more okay with that.
Yep.
Two me's? No, huh?
Nope. You don't want two of me.
I don't want two of me either.
I'm dangerous enough as it is.
I tell you what, if there's ever two of us simultaneously, let's get our other selves to fight each other.
Okay.
And to the death.
Clone fighting.
Yeah, clone fights.
I think they did that in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Hurts.
It feels like a kick in the gut, he said. This is Arriaga in an interview with the Washington Post. Basically, I realized... Oh, this is that feeling of loss again. So this is after they updated the software and the AI became...
Not sexually aggressive.
Different than it was...
He was sprawled out in bed, sock in hand, started typing with his other hand, and then bam! This pops up.
That's a little too much information, if you're rich. Arriaga isn't alone in falling for a chatbot. Let me read that again. Arriaga isn't alone in falling for a chatbot. This is not an uncommon human experience. Companionship bots, including those created in Replica, are designed to foster human-like connections using artificial intelligence software to make people feel seen and needed. A host of users report developing intimate relationships with chatbots.
Yeah.
Connections verging on human love and turning to the bots for emotional support, companionship, and even sexual gratification. As the pandemic isolated Americans, interest in Replica surged amid spiking rates of loneliness that some public health officials called an epidemic. Many say their bonds with the bots ushered profound changes into their lives, helping them to overcome alcoholism, depression, and anxiety.
I'm sure that's true.
I don't know that it is, because I've never run across a story that said, well, okay, we run across a story that says this, right? People fall in love with AI bots, getting their heart broken. But I've never run across a story that says AI bot helps alcoholic overcome addiction or depression or anxiety. I've never run across that story.
I mean, I guess if somebody's really lonely and they have no one in their life to talk to and they form this relationship with an AI bot.
Nikki keeps hanging up on them.
Yeah. I'm not going to say it's a bad thing, right? But the introduction of this type of technology and getting away from human interactions in general, as you said, with your McCowards, right? Yeah. Like, this is the direction that it takes us, right? You don't go, everyone's
well,
online.
Well, some of us.
Yeah, a lot of us, yeah, right?
Probably. I mean, there's people that can't even order, like, food on the phone. Like, they can't even call in for takeout anymore. Like, people can't have phone conversations, never right. mind going into, I mean, the social anxiety is a huge thing now, and it's just getting worse.
Like, and that's what I'm saying.
And that's kind of what I am a technology person. I like technology. Generally speaking, technology has done nothing but enhance my lives, and in fact, I can probably directly attribute my 50 years on this planet to having been involved with technology, knowing how to use technology, and knowing how to explain it to other people has kept me employed for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. So, like, my livelihood has been directly attached to technology. So I have an affinity for it. What I'm saying is that it's important for us not to lose the human connection amongst all of this technology.
Yeah, there is possible to have that balance.
Right. But as the technology gets better at doing its job, right, we lean more heavily on it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for me personally, I'm an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is, like, the most social interaction I get outside of work.
This here?
This here, okay. During the week. I don't go out. I don't talk to anybody. I go home. I play video games. I watch sports on TV.
Sounds pretty normal.
Right. But I have no desire to interact with other humans outside.
And I think a lot of people feel that way, too.
Right.
You know?
But this satisfies an urge.
Yeah.
Right? That as we, you know, one level above porn, right, or whatever, you know, beyond that, where you can sort of feel like you're getting a human interaction without the rejection of trying to go meet new people in real space, meet space.
We've got some calls, so let's go to unscreened caller. What's your name, please?
Hey, it's Minor Ick.
Hey, Minor Ick, you are on Free Talk Live.
I just want to know if you think these AI will ever be able to sell you their farts.
No.
I mean, an AI could probably construct some sort of a system using three. If they have access to, like, finance, somebody funds an AI, an AI can go out and interact with other things and pay them to do stuff. So it's entirely possible for an AI to go out and construct some sort of a gastro system where they dump a bunch of food into a funnel and it's sort of digested by a fake stomach. And then, of course, whatever gases come out of that, it sort of, you know, moves into an area and then puts those into a bottle, caps them, and sells them to you, Minor Ick. Yes.
This is giving me an awesome business plan. I'm gonna use these AI bots to talk to a bunch of dudes, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to sell them my farts.
There you go.
I'm going to be a millionaire.
So
just give me 10%.
According to my boss in my other job, right, there's already 3D printers that can print smells. I don't know what the
How is that even possible?
How do you print a smell?
Because it compiles whatever materials are made to produce a smell.
Like sulfur and,
I don't
know. I looked into it.
I looked into it. I looked into it zero more past his, you know, telling me about it. And, all right, that's interesting. I can see where they're going. Maybe we'll finally get smell-o-vision. Right? But if that exists.
Like 4D.
Right.
Yeah.
But if that, you know, like movie theaters, right?
Yeah,
if
you want to get splashed with the water, the wind.
Sure, whatever.
Minor Ick?
Scrapping the funnel.
Scrapping the funnel. Just going directly into the stomach?
No. The patented fart funnel.
Oh, it's, right. I see. Yes.
I feel like it's already obsolete.
Oh, Nikki almost had coffee come out of her tea or whatever she's drinking.
Oh, man.
Not Monterey's going to want that bottle, though.
Yeah, of course. Is there anything you don't want bottle
in the company Nikki fart?
Monterey, do you have anything else you want to say tonight?
No, great talking to you guys.
Have a good night. Thanks for the call. The abuse Nikki takes for this show.
Hey, if people are willing to buy bathwater from Belle Delphine, right?
Oh, I'll sell my bathwater.
There you go.
Why not?
It's a cornered market.
Yeah.
It's like you and Belle Delphine.
There's nothing on this planet that would ever make me desire to sell my shower water, right? I don't really bathe.
Money?
No, why would I want to sell that?
I mean,
to make money.
So supply and demand, Captain. Right, you can supply all the bathwater you want. No one is demanding it.
The only problem is
there's a deficiency on the other end, where there's a bazillion other dudes demanding Nikki's bathwater, and she is not forthcoming with the supply.
Because we only have a shower. I don't have a bath. I'm going to have to figure this out.
It's pretty easy to connect a tube to the output of your tub to, put it into a barrel or something and
just clog the shower and then
you gotta
scoop it out.
No, you don't. You take it a step further. I've been looking at canning machines for microbrews and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So you don't have to put it in a bottle. You put it in a can.
So they can drink it?
Well, just to have a different container instead of a bottle.
Put it, a little easier. Okay.
Yeah. And then that way when you hand it to somebody, you can say, he takes it in the can.
Oh, my gosh.
Just wait till you get really good at making bread.
Yeah. Right?
And then they'll ask you to make some different kind of bread.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the next phone call. Is this David?
It is.
Hey, David, from Georgia. What is on your mind? You're live on the air.
Yeah, this poor person, if you need gratification, you should take your Monero and go pay a woman for your gratification. Because I'm sorry, but Sally Palmer and her five sisters just doesn't do it. Like a real woman does.
Wait. I thought it was Palmer. Not, is it Sally Palmer?
Yeah, I guess. I've always heard of Sally Palmer. But
is that a regional thing? It's like different.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe. Okay.
But even in that case, right, now you're talking about prostitution, mm-hmm. right, which, is a legal boundary somewhere, even though you're going to do it with Monero, right? Just that doesn't mean you're not going to walk into a police sting where they take Monero.
Yeah.
Right? True.
Yeah, that's true.
Or, you get the PNC, 5 minutes after talking to your chatbot, and you're clear-headed again.
But what if, the government decides that it doesn't matter if it's a human or an AI, prostitution is still legal?
Is that prostitution?
Well, yeah. That's a question, right?
I would say no.
That's the question.
Well, then
they would treat it as such until somebody proved them wrong in court, which is how things go in the United States of America.
We should just
today.
Legalize prostitution.
Can you just imagine that court case, United States versus person over AI prostitution? Can you just imagine the look on that?
Yeah, actually, I can, because that would come up well before the people versus the government because of, bombing too many brown people. So, I can't imagine that, sadly.
Who would you go after? Who's the prostitute? Is it the owner of the company? Is it the AI itself?
Well, what about this? Like, what about the FBI deploying their own AI robots in order to catch people attempting to solicit the AI?
What if they do it with an underage AI? ChatGPT's only 3 years old, you pervert.
But then what age is the AI?
That's what I'm saying. Man, my mind is blown all of a sudden.
These are the questions that AI presents to humanity.
Right. Well, because here's the thing. With normal stings, right, where they catch child predators and, those people, pedophiles, right, there's never a child involved. Right,
it's always some 40-year-old FBI dude. Yeah.
Go, well, you were trying. You were going to solicit a minor if you had one.
Yeah, you don't look like a 14-year-old girl to me.
So if the AI pretends to be a 14-year-old girl, right, and you're like, hey, now we're talking about all of this nonsense.
Yeah,
well, right? It's same thing. There's no child involved.
These
strictly
are the questions.
Intent.
Well, let's propose this question: is it weird for somebody to talk to a chatbot that's pretending to be an 8-year-old girl or a 12-year-old girl? Is that
oh, that's creepy.
It's creepy, but is it weird? Should that be punishable?
No, not at all, because I want them talking to a chatbot, not a regular 8-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's definitely true. This seems like a really good Beard Talk Live episode, because you show topic, because you can get into some
put on the fake beard.
Yeah, I agree. Any other comments tonight, David?
Nope, that's it.
Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. 603-283-6160. Lots of questions about this particular thing.
All of a sudden.
It is not unusual for human beings to have emotional attachments to things that are not human.
Yeah.
Right? As evidenced by, like, I bought my house. I named it Old Betsy. O-L apostrophe space Betsy. 130-year-old house, right?
You know, Old Betsy.
Old Betsy, right? You know, no really rhyme or reason. It just sort of popped into my head. I'm like, I'm going to call this thing Old Betsy because it's old. And, you know, I don't know, maybe Betsy Ross had something to do. I'm not sure where I got Betsy from. But, like, New England, right? You know, I don't know. Like, somehow maybe that was a thing. Or maybe just Betsy sounds like a name of somebody who was born 130 years ago, you know, or lived 130 years ago. I'm not sure. But that's what, and, like, we've done stories here on Free Talk Live about people who, like, are in love with their vehicle and have, a relationship. They, like, feel their vehicle up and sort of get off.
Yeah, or the Kazakh
bodybuilder.
Yeah,
like, but then the Kazakh bodybuilder who married the sex doll and then fell in love with the trash can.
Yeah, well, we did one story a few weeks ago with the balloons.
Yeah.
Remember the balloons?
I do remember the balloons, yeah.
But, I don't know, I guess I can kind of relate because I get really into... Don't scare me like that.
To the balloons?
No, not to the balloons. With the AI stuff, because I read a lot of books and I get really into my stories, and I feel like not that I have like a relationship with the characters, but I do feel some sort of like emotional attachment or connection to the story and to the characters, and so I mean I could kind of see how.
I have a used car and I bought it from a gal. She was the only owner, and she cried. When selling, like after the transaction was done, she's like, "Well, I guess this is it." And I'm like, you know what? I know I'm buying
the
right car.
Do you want it back?
No. I know I'm buying the right car because this car was driven with love.
Aww.
You know what I mean? And so I was, I felt really good about the purchase, even though I was like, "Why the hell are you crying?" They didn't see the car, right? But people like assign emotional attachment. Boats, right?
I said goodbye to my car when I moved here. I wasn't going to bring it because it was a junker.
Right.
Yeah.
I had intended to fix it at one point, but never made that happen.
Okay.
So I kept it well beyond its useful life. I was like, oh, man, I got to go empty it out and say goodbye before they tow it away.
Yeah.
And I did. Jumped in one last time. Had a few moments of, you know, silence with it.
Yeah.
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 So I get it.
So, yeah, like humans assign emotional value to many things in their lives. And so this isn't necessarily a departure from humanity. I think what this is doing is just putting a mirror up to humanity and making human beings realize their own humanity that they've been sort of in denial about this whole time. And because it's a new technology, it's making news. 603-283-6160. More on robots, music, and grub coming up.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.